What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, with my co-host, Jason, or Shadow Strain. And we are...
What is up,
man? We're back with another episode of Tuesdays with TCK. And in today's episode, we're going to be discussing some fun subjects. But before we break into it, be sure to hit that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along from whichever platform you're tuning in from so you can show the sponsors of the show some major love. And that's Atlas Seed, The Autoflower Review, T&B Naturals, and Hydro Bucket. They're amazing sponsors, and they really allow Jason and I to do pretty much everything that we can do when it comes to podcasting and growing. So it's really fun. Now, in today's episode, Jason has brought the subject up to me, so I'm going to let him kind of blab it off.
Okay, so guys, today we're going to get into talking about styles of watering and irrigation. Are you doing it from below? Do you like it from below or you like it from above?
with that being said, we'll break into it with a really fun question. Normally, I have him ask me a question lately, but I'm going to ask you a question today. So, what was the hardest thing about pressing rosin lately?
Oh, man, recovering from the dabs after you did a handful of those presses. That's the hard part about the fucking pressing. Yes. Yeah. So I'm just doing kind of a homemade style press. I don't have a proper equipment like my man over here, Derek, with the Nug Smash Mini. But that is going to be my next up. As progressing from making bubble hash, and getting a few different grades, and then smoking that, and then taking that and pressing that, and seeing the differences, was really amazing. And I mentioned that to you earlier, is seeing the different gradients of hash and what they actually turn into, and then just taking all of them and smashing them together and then just seeing what your brain can handle.
Yeah, I love it.
But yeah,
honestly, that is kind of the headache when you first start, is just figuring out humidity or like which quality you want to press, how much yield it's going to get. It's all kind of a little finicky, but it sounds like you had a great experience, and that will save all that rosin talk for another episode. Let's break into this watering. So... many growers often start watering just when most people get into growing cannabis, you just start off the old school method of just literally pouring water over top of your cannabis and hoping it grows. Most people don't do a lot of research. Most people mess up the watering. Okay, so watering is very important, and when you water, how much you water, how often you water, how the roots are uptaking the water. All of it makes a big difference in growing. So I guess the easiest way that I would – like if you are a grower where you are messing up literally the watering, like you don't – you keep messing up letting your plants dry out, the easiest fix before even listening to the rest of this episode would be swapping over to hydroponics or swapping to a gravity-fed reservoir like an Autopot system. Because with hydroponics or sub-hydroponics or partial hydroponics or gravity feeding, your roots consistently and 24/7 always have access to water as long as your reservoir is full. So you just have to make sure you maintain a reservoir, which is much easier than maintaining a watering cycle for some people. So before we break into any of that, that is the easiest method. I think Jason can attest to the Autopot system. He's really in love with it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm switching from Blue Mat irrigation to the Autopot. Both of them are stellar. The Autopot just shines. I think the allowing the plant to decide when it needs to drink, versus me deciding when it needs to drink. Don't get me wrong. Now the Blue Mat is designed to, when the soil around the carrot dries, it, releases the irrigation water. And then based on your drippers, like me, I had four drippers in each 5-gallon pot, basically four quadrants. And, I had placed the, carrot far enough out between the root base and the out of the edge of the plant. The roots actually grew around the carrot and squeezed onto it. So they were actually able to kind of drink from it. But what I did notice was that it felt like the bottom portion of the pot, and I was in the grassroots pots with the fabric of the inner liner.
Yes.
So it's fabric pot, but it has a liner down to the bottom. I was still getting a bit dry. I was still doing some hand watering on top of that. So I think the what they call butt chugging these days, right?
Steve up!
I think that's a superior way.
It is.
Like you said, if you're messing up the watering, that's like step one, is getting the watering right. And everybody should focus on that first, then worry about how much light they have second. But I think if you can get the watering right, you're going to see progressive growth from stage one to flowering and then continue. And that's what your goal is to not have a hiccup. And that's, I think some people, me and you grow autoflowers, and I think some people see the idea of autoflowers and assume that sounds like a good path for a beginner to take, but it's not. And I warned that to a buddy the other day. His friend sent him some autoflower seeds, and I had to be the bearer of bad news to go, look, man, I just want to see you succeed. And I think a photo period is going to be more lenient to your mistakes because we only have our X amount of window that we can grow an autoflower. And if you make a hiccup like watering, you're going to have this little plant.
you don't like your little baby nugs?
No, it's going to, none of us. I mean, that's not what, you know, when you're like, you can grow a small plant that yields nicely intentionally. Yep. Cool. But a new grower's getting their first, they're looking for success. Yeah. They're looking for, the best return from their little bit of
investment, money, a good ROI, return on investment. You know, you want that return on investment.
So, I think watering from an auto system is preferable. Yep. Hydroponic, or like the Autopot, you can kind of do both. We can do soil, we can do hydroponic. I think that's the best of both.
And I'll say Autopot is the number one spot for me right now, just because, I mean, scientifically, it is a little easier. So in hydroponics, for novices listening or anyone listening that's like, oh, I'll just swap to hydro. Well, you can still drown your plant. Okay, so if your air stone gets clogged, you don't have enough air going into your reservoir, your plant can actually suffocate in the water and drown. So,
now, based on your environment, the temperature of that water too is going to be.
So there's a lot of things that with large amounts of water, more headaches come in. What's nice about the Autopot system is most of their systems or setups are about 15-gallon reservoirs or less. And what that means is you're actually getting more true to about a 20 gallons. It's anywhere from 15 to 20 gallons within that range if you're including like about 1 to 2 gallons that might be through the line sitting in the little reservoirs. The nice thing about that is your plant has a exorbitant amount of grow medium that has access to oxygen at all times. So the base of the roots might be sitting in water, but because of the rest of the root mass has oxygen, the plant can literally choose where it needs to breathe through and basically uptake whenever it wants via the grow medium or the nutrients you're feeding through the reservoir. What I like to do to make my life just mad easy and literally just get this down to like the least amount of steps for the most amount out of it is legitimately making myself a nice soil mix or getting a super soil. You can get a super soil. Just remember, super soils you usually want to smooth out for autoflowers, especially with how hot they can be in the beginning. So how I do that is I plant my autoflowers into peat moss cubes and then into Happy Frog from Fox Farms. That's a really nice chill soil, or Roots Organic 707 blend. It's really, really chill. And then if you're going to move into a more hotter soil, you need to allow the autoflower to grow. But if you're with a photo period, the easiest thing to do is just go from peat moss cube to Happy Frog Solo Cup and then straight into whatever soil you're going to run for your Autopot system. Or maybe you're using all Rockwool cubes or whatever medium you're choosing to use. That's the nice thing about the Autopot system. It's whatever medium. The great thing is if you're choosing a super soil or you're choosing earthworm castings, your plant literally just needs water at that point. So the reservoir is just pH water. So if you get, I'm a little spoiled. I have Atlas Scientific pH probes, temp probes, and dissolved oxygen probes. Now, it is kind of an investment to get certain probes like that. Does a probe that is to the thousandth parameter dialed in make a difference? Without a doubt. Every pH pen that I've purchased and tested now has been at least 1.8 pH off from what it's actually showcasing, and that's after being calibrated right out of the box. So pH pens are about 1.8 to 2.0 pH plus or minus off given the probe or sensor. So having a more dialed in setup, I literally didn't have to do anything with my plants. And I purposely did that. There were some larfiness to like the spread, but overall trichomes effects and everything that I've smoked, it grinds nicely. The effects are absolutely wonderful. And it was literally proving the point that I did zero work, zero training, did nothing. I had these auto flowers that were like this big when they first went into my auto pot system, and next thing you know, they were massive. You can see it on the auto flower review Discord where I post a bunch of pictures. And then for one, Jason has massive plants that he's grown himself in the auto pot system since transitioning over. And why that is just simply down to the science of the plant literally has access to either water, oxygen, or food 24/7 at its given amount. Anytime it wants, it's just a happy little plant sitting there doing, spending every ounce of time just growing to make sure it's a big, happy plant for you.
Yeah, and the other thing too is to brush up, backtrack actually, I should say, a little bit about what you were saying, creating a super soil. I'm running dry amendments and I'm creating not a super soil, but I am mixing in a first 6 week worth of just water only. And then I'm top dressing. And I think they say, sorry, osmotic pressure
Yes.
is still grabbing that nutrient from above and pulling it down. So what I noticed is I'll put it in, I'll scratch it in, and I've still been lightly doing my teas every other week, but I'm doing a very light tea and I don't want to wet the soil down too much because the auto pot's already moist, right? So, and I don't want to turn the system off and go through having to try to figure out when to turn it back on, when to turn it off. So I'm just putting a light dose of tea in there. And I see the feeder roots have just pretty much taken up the surface of that pot. And it's amazing. And they're getting all the nutrients they need. My fade is going beautifully. But yeah, that osmotic pressure is still, so we can still top feed in this system and not have to worry about it needing to be a soaked through all the way down and through because the roots are doing what they
Which
need
I'm
to
glad you
do.
said what you said, because now that transitioned us to talking why there's so many pros for a system like this versus the cons for top feed or top watering. Well, what Jason just literally said, when you water from the top, so for many growers, you're either using a so we're gonna go, I'll try to do inches to gallon size pots. So generally your 1/2 gallon pots are 3 inches in diameter. Generally your 1 gallons are 4 inches. Generally your I think 2 gallons are 6 inches, and then everything 5 gallons I believe are 8 inches or something like that. Don't quote me on this. It's been a while since I've done the inch to diameter thing. But regardless, why is that important? Because you now have to consider the cubic feet of your soil that is within this arrangement and the amount of water that will require you to not only soak it fully, but soil is kind of funny. If there's dry patches, water will kind of go around it actually. It won't really absorb it. So what has to happen is the soil next to it has to get damp so that the soil actually wicks the water from the soil next to it. So this means you have to know how much I like to call it drain off or waste off or whatever you want to call it. This is why I always have my plants whenever I was top feeding or top watering inside of little trays, because I want that runoff water to sit just a certain inch amount. And then it'll be reabsorbed right into the bottom. I don't want to waste any of the nutrients. I don't want to waste any of that. So big con, two big cons right off the bat of top watering. You have to make sure you evenly water from the top down all the way around the entire circumference of that pot. Two, Whenever you do that, you are taking all the amendments from the top and you are shifting them down to the bottom. And you, if you get runoff and you don't catch the runoff, you are losing nutrients within your soil and microbials. That is a big – there is just – those two big cons right there are big enough for me to stop.
Now, the dry pockets that you were referring to are a big problem because – If you are retaining a dry pocket, and maybe that's fine for right now, but then that dry pocket becomes not dry, and it's you're 3 months into the grow, and now you just released all of the nutrients from that dry pocket. 2 weeks later, you're now wondering why I'm getting nutrient burn, because you had two or three dry pockets that just released all of this nutrients that you didn't expect, that you thought you went
through. Or they don't release and your roots don't grow throughout it and you have a very bad root mass.
Yes, that's happened. I've seen that. I've seen all of this. And you know, just testing the waters and trying different things. And then at the end of the grow, you pull that pot, you flip it, you look at those roots and you kind of see how much, every time I pull my pots, I beat that thing up. I get all that dirt off of there. I want to see how much root did I grow, because I compare it to if I can, in my mind, if I can try to get this big, massive root growth, and each time I get to see it, I can judge myself, how big did I grow that root last?
And how healthy are the roots?
The bigger the roots, the bigger the fruits are going to be up here. And I think we're going to discuss training on another episode because that's something I want to talk about, because I've done so many damn different methods and I get roughly the same yield off of every method I do.
Yeah, so
so that's something I want to talk about.
Yeah, training's funny and we can definitely do that because that is a whole good 30, 45 minute episode that I would love to dive into.
I got a lot to say.
And you know, it kind of does go – a lot of this stuff, what like the principle of the training episode that we'll do, the principle of this episode, a lot of it kind of does all fall on top of this one very stringent underlying factor, and that is genetics. And it is – like I know we say it almost every episode, but it is very key to get source genetics that are good because – very much a lot of the times people get very improper genetics or something and they react all sorts of weird and wonky to all sorts of scenarios. So as long as you have a baseline to start with, you have good genetics, okay, then boom. Now the next thing is, okay, now I need to learn how to pH water and test it. Now if you have a pH pen, don't freak out trying to adjust the 2.0 mark that I said. Just adjust it to about roughly 6.0 so that you know you're probably about 5.0 at the lowest, or maybe you're about 6.9, 7.0 at the highest. But as long as you're about 6.0 to 6.3, you've got a good range for your plant to just be all right in. You know, this is where, as long as you learn those two principles of how to pH in your water and how in having baseline genetics that are good, all the other things will just pretty much come into fruition and you'll learn from it. I don't like top – go for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say pH in your water goes into the whole watering scenario we're talking about tonight, and getting that watering right. Because if you don't get the watering right, once again, backing all the way back to that, you know, if we don't get the watering right, everything else is screwed. And if you're concerned about your pH, because you can kill off
microbials,
microbes to a certain extent, so you're going to want to look into getting something solid. TNB, they have completely solid pH that's not going to kill off.
That's all microbes. I use, and it's granular. And so here's pros and cons of what he just said. Massive pro of the out-of-pot system. If you happen to mis-pH your reservoir, you're only tainting the bottom 3 to 6 inches of your – no, probably about 3 inches, honestly. Probably about bottom 3 inches of your root mass. Your microbial life throughout your entire colony will be totally fine. When you top water, if you wrongfully pH, you get to kill everything. So –
in that term, you're using the word flush. You're flushing out
and
everything.
And then on top of that, when you're top watering, it takes a hell of a lot more time to get back into range when you accidentally mess up. So
now, when he says top watering too, you're referring to
pitcher pour, drip flood. Feed, anything that is water going across the top that's trying to get an even displacement of water through the grow media, that is top watering. Anything that is bottom watering or hydroponics, you're going to have an advantage. The bottom watering systems or flood and drain systems will always have an advantage because it's a consistent flow of water and access to oxygen, which are the two major, the two major key points to how any osmosis, any uptake, any new anything can happen. That's literally those two things have to happen. And then your third factor would be your photosynthetic reactions, which comes from light, which that's why Jason said, worry about the water and stuff first and foremost. The light can come later, and that's very true. You can grow a cannabis clone plant or veg plant under CFLs. You can literally cheap light it.
The whole light thing, like, everybody's like, you know, get this big ass light and just burn the shit out of your plants. And I fell into that trap going into the, you know, going down the popular YouTubers and listening to what they're saying and falling back on some of the guys that I could see had more years in the game. I noticed that when somebody wasn't selling me something, their lights are a lot farther away from the plant than when somebody's selling me something. Every time somebody's selling me something, their lights are like this fucking close to the plant, bro. And then I'll see real growers have their lights away.
You want to know why that is? It's because
they know how to grow.
Also, real growers understand that you buy a light 2 to 3 times more powerful than your space, and you hang hang it at a proper thing, and you run that shit way low, because at the lowest setting, it'll be the bare minimum, or like the highest setting you really wanted for vegging, and you get to have all of the power in the world without all the pool of electricity and all the heat, because your board is built for a bigger, more heat display. It's built for more.
And that light stress that the plants get is insane. And like, so some of these companies, like, most of the companies of the lights that I've purchased, they have a hanging recommendation, and it's a ridiculous recommendation. Every time I've done that recommendation, my plants look like they're getting hammered.
I don't care if I have a PAR reader. I will die, go to my grave saying this till I will say it till I'm blue in my face. There are certain things. And I really love the episode I did with Swami Chaitanya and Nikki Listretto. There are certain things in growing that I don't care if you have meters, probes. The plants will tell you specifically, because no matter what you believe, every plant is different. And you might not think plants are alive, or you might not be hippie into believing that plants have energy and things like that, but plants have reactions and emotions and things like that, and it's been scientifically proven on that fact. And certain things I will always rely on the plant to tell me. Heat stress and light stress is one big one. I will always watch the leaves to just let them know when is too much. When they're tacoing and they look like this, that's too much. If they're fully sided and curled like this, there's something going on. That's usually heat stress versus light stress.
Unless that there's a the only case in that scenario is if you're senesced out and you're at the end of the grow and your fan leaves are starting to curl.
And certain genetics will show that prone, like you're more purple plants and stuff.
But you taught me. Yes, but you taught me, and ever since you taught me, look for flat leaves, like a plate. Now that's when I see my leaves up too much, I'm like, oh, they're getting too much light, and I want to see them flat.
When they're kind of like this, that's good in veg, but when you're in flower, you want your leaves to be pretty chill, just flat solar panels absorbing everything. The nice thing about veg is we can use, you know, pertaining to watering, veg is every spot. Once you get a plant from juvenile stage into veg, which is like that 2 week mark to 3 week mark, you have every which way you can test how much light it can take. You can test how much water it can take. You can test how dry it can get. You know, and this is where I say you'll see staple genetics be true, tried and true. The reason I, do kind of like say my genetics are more solid, the ones I breed out, is because the mother and fathers that I breed, I literally intentionally try to kill. And I put them through the ringer like they would get out in nature. And because, you know what? A novice does that to plants on accident. And that is, you have to have a plant that's resilient enough and hardy enough to take those beatings. Because, you know, when you're learning how to water, maybe you go, well, a gallon of water did like so much runoff last time. Maybe I'll do a half gallon. Well, if you're in a 10-gallon pot, you might need a gallon of water. And maybe it did runoff because you have a lot of dry soil. So maybe next time you mix up a big pot or your pot of soil before you even put your plant in, what I like to do is I fill up like this much, water it. Mix it around with my hand, make sure that much is soaked. Fill up more soil that's dry, water it, make sure it's soaked. And I do that until the entire bit is soaked so that when I start my plant, I know without a doubt the entire grow medium is fully wet and saturated. And then I can just keep it consistently wet and saturated from there. Once you have a dry out, you literally have to – I will take my plants to – when they go through their whole things – if you're a novice listening, like, fuck, man, I fucked my pH up. Everything's out of whack. I'm screwed. This is bad. Oh, man, my whole life is over. What you do is you take your grow plants over to a garden sink or a bathtub, and you fully rinse the soil with if you're using a 5-gallon grow pot, you need 15 gallons of water through your soil. If you're using a – you basically have to do 3 times the amount of – grow media and water. So you're going to be using a lot of water, but this is how you reset and flush your soil so that you can literally, you'll do that, you'll allow it to fully dry for 5 days, and then you'll have to give it a full microbial tea, pH proper, and that is how you save the day. But that is about a 2-week process in total, instead of just having an autopot where you can go, oh fuck, let me pH adjust.
Yes. Yeah, man. That's definitely good advice, because knowing, just in general, knowing that during a problem that you can just take the plant over, flush, and then give it a good, fresh, balanced tea, and you're back in, and now you just got to sit back and wait. Now, that's the pros and cons in soil versus hydro. Hydro is an instant fix. You see a problem, you reset, you fix, tomorrow it's back and perky.
But that pro's also a con, right? Because if you have a problem, it's instantaneous.
It's a problem overnight. You have the day.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's growing finicky, and that's why, to be honest, man, I'm a big believer in the autopot system. Like that, it's a happy hybrid. They've really dialed it in. I like how they have the root blocker in the thing so the roots don't grow out. I like how big the lines are. I don't get sludge buildup in my lines. And to be honest, they make great products. They have a bunch of outdoor autopot systems and setups that you can obtain. And it's really unique how far it's going to probably go along. But I'm glad that we did this episode. I think we'll probably cut it right around here. I'll let you finish up with any last questions you have.
Yeah, no, I was just going to mention that they actually just came out with that auto tray to grow thing.
Yeah.
And then you can basically have that in your situation, to where you could throw some small fabric pots for your starters, right? And then just boom, pop them into your other.
I know. I saw a grower growing a tray of lettuce with one of those things, and I was like, bro, that is sick. That is such a smart idea.
And if you're doing photo periods, that's your clone heaven there, my friend.
I'm definitely going to be looking into one. I know when I move, I'm going to be like adjusting like my setup and just kind of like taking note of like what I have, what I'm going to need. And I'll probably end up snagging another autopot system and like that tray setup, just so that I have everything on one go, and then it'll be completely solidified.
Yeah, I won't be running photo periods until I get my hands on your stuff. I'm going to just stop running photo periods.
Cool. I got to get a package out to you. Thank you for reminding me. So I'll probably hit the post office.
No stress, tomorrow. Man, because I got this run from 2020 okay. Genetics. I'm about to run. And
we got time.
We got time. I'm looking forward to see that. What was that sunset, that one you said looked crazy, you and Mike were talking
the sunrise
about,
one. Durban.
Durban sunrise. Yeah, I got that one. Beans are popped. They're in the soil. But I will have to, after we get off here, I have to recover. So basically, because I have the new autopots, I had already planted those seeds into the grassroots fabric pots just a few days ago. And a few of them have popped out. A few of them I'll have to recover from the center. So what I'm just going to do is I'm going to go in for a recovery mission and see if I can recover them seeds up and out of there. They should have little tap roots on them. It'll be fun. But I'm going to reset everything up and just kind of get the soil out of that, get the soil back.
If you know where you planted, yeah, what I sometimes will do is I'll take a solo cup and I'll just kind of lightly take a ring fully around it down all the way to the solo cup. And then I'll just scoop my hand up under it and I'll flip it around and I'll try to search for the taproot.
I don't plant them very deep. So once I pop them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I should be able to just kind of push that soil away and see that little guy and then kind of work my way around.
I've done it before.
I'm going to prove that autoflowers aren't that sensitive. Yes,
To be fair, I've moved seeds 4 times and still grown the plant, so.
Autoflowers are only sensitive in the term of don't fuck up and grow.
And, I mean, if you do snap a taproot, they ain't going to like that.
Well, and I learned if you over fucking train them, like, and that's where I want to talk about training one day, because I have pictures of every way you can train a plant. I've done everything you can think of. I've bent those things every which way, so, and I have stories to tell you about all of it.
That'll be great for next episode. Well, that's a perfect way to leave off this episode, man. Everybody listening, be sure to hit that like button if you enjoyed. Comment any questions you have, if you have any watering questions or you want to add to the conversation. And as you know, again, subscribe and follow along from whichever platform. It helps the sponsors of the show and helps the show grow. Thank you to TMB Naturals and Hydro Bucket and Atlas Seed and the Autoflower Review for basically letting this podcast happen and supporting our channels and just supporting our growth through all this time. So without further ado, I'm Chronic. That's Shadow Strain or Shadow. We're going by Shadow now, Shadow. Right?
I fucked it up this time.
So I'm Chronic. And Shadow. And this has been another episode of Tuesdays with TCK. Much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.
Peace.